Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and Christ is risen. We continue to celebrate this octave of Easter. What a profoundly important time of the year for each and every one of us. I hope you're celebrating, and I hope you're enjoying and experiencing the grace of this season. There's so much grace in the air, all the prayer and the worship, and there's the celebration of sacraments and life, and to just take it in, brothers and sisters, it will renew your strength. Come into the conversation more fully together, and let's together praise his name. Let's declare his glory. Let's welcome it for our own lives and announce to one another. Let's talk to one another about what we've been given. The amazing grace that each one of us possesses who've been baptized into Christ, been forgiven in the confessional, have received the body of our Lord, reading the Word of God, all of that. I mean, just living from a life in the Spirit. This is a season of the year to rejoice for sure and to celebrate with all our heart, with the rhythms of life and the intensity of daily responsibilities and everything. It can be very easy to return to kind of reset and get right back into the old groove and not keep before us the flame, let the flame burn before us so we can penetrate and go deeper and deeper into the truths of what Christ has accomplished for us. Because this is real. This is real power. This is real truth. This is transformational grace, grace that will take us deeper and take us to fuller maturity, freedom, and deeper into the awareness of the great mission that we've all been called into, which we touched on yesterday a little bit as we've been going through the readings this week. Not right on time. I've been like a day behind in bringing the two readings together each day. The first reading from at Mass, what we've been given there. I mean, the gospel accounts, we're given resurrection accounts from the gospels, which are really beautiful. In the first reading we've been given right from, I think beginning with Monday, was the preaching that began on the day of Pentecost. So it was the fulfillment of the promise that Jesus told the apostles in Luke's account of the first resurrection appearance that's in chapter 24 of Luke. And he meets the apostles, he appears to them, and then he opens the scripture to help them understand what they didn't know without his full commentary on the meaning of many passages in the Old Testament that the Messiah must suffer and die. A lot of Jewish people didn't know that. They didn't relate to that. They thought of the Messiah as a conqueror who'd come in this world, conquer things in this world, and establish his kingdom. But Jesus told the apostles, so that his death and resurrection wasn't a mistake. It wasn't plan B. It was plan A. And all that we've talked about, and we understand that why Jesus went to the cross, and he brought down the regime of demonic power and worldly power and the power of sin and make it possible for human beings to come into a whole new reality, into the life of the kingdom. And he told them they are the witnesses and that they should go and proclaim repentance and faith, repentance and baptism, repentance, calling people to conversion. But he said, but wait till you receive power from on high, because this is really a participation in the mission of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I always keep trying to remind us that's what the mission in the earth is about, the Great Commission. It's God's idea. It's God's work. It's God's thing for the sake of the salvation of the world. And we're drawn into it, and we go forward. We don't have any power on our own, like Peter spoke about as he's preaching in the temple. He said, the man that Peter spoke to, the crippled man, he said, in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. And the drama unfolds in the temple. Peter's bold and he's confident. He's at peace. And he calls everybody in the temple to pay attention. They knew, everyone knew in one way or another who this guy was who was crippled. And they'd seen him for years. Probably gave him alms, as I said yesterday. And now he's walking and leaping and praising God, something entirely different, a big commotion. And Peter's there and says, pay attention. Let me tell you what's happening here. Peter says, not my power. It's not my piety, even though the man's pointing, that guy did it, that guy right there. He's the one who healed me. Peter's like, nope. What you're seeing is the fulfillment of the promises of God that come as a result of the glorification of the Son of God at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. And Peter said, it's Jesus, by that name that this man was healed. And then with great boldness and courage, the same people that caused him to fear and hide and deny Jesus, probably a lot of the same people in the same location, Peter's a new man. Peter's a man animated now by a new faith strengthened by the Spirit. He's walking in the power of the Holy Spirit and the grace he was given on the day of Pentecost and speaking with just laser sharp clarity. It's by the name of Jesus that this man was raised. And then he goes on, he says, repent therefore and be converted. That's what the church is called to take to the whole world. That's it. That's the central message. That's the means of salvation. Faith comes through hearing, and what's heard is the word of God. By faith, we're saved. By faith, we come to initial justification, to new life because of repentance and the free gift, and then we're baptized and all the other stuff that comes after it. But the church is born of the preaching of the word of God, the recent popes have reminded us of. And this is the core preaching. Repent, therefore, be converted that your sins may be wiped away and that the Lord may grant you times of refreshment and send you the Christ already appointed to you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the times of universal restoration of which God spoke through the mouth of the holy prophets from old. So Peter's declaring the uniqueness of Jesus. Jesus is the culmination of all the anticipation and life of the people of Israel. He's then speaking to a crowd of probably, 98% Jewish people. There's some Gentiles. There's a quarter of the Gentiles there that some people might have been praying. But he's interpreting Moses, the prophets, and he's saying Jesus is the fulfillment of it all. He said, moreover, all the prophets who spoke from Samuel and those afterwards and all also announced these days, you are the children of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your ancestors when he said to Abraham, in your offspring all the families of the earth shall be blessed. For you first, God raised up his servant and sent him to bless you by turning each of you from your evil ways. This is proof positive for anybody who is listening who might be confused. Is Jesus really the Savior of the Jews? Do the Jews need salvation through Jesus Christ? They absolutely do. Just like everyone else. In fact, Peter was sent first to the house of Israel to proclaim the truth that Jesus is the Jewish Messiah. That's bringing salvation first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. In your offspring, all the families of the earth shall be blessed, Abraham said. And how is that happening? It's happening through Jesus. Right? Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, is bringing light to the world, bringing salvation to the world. That's what Peter's referring to here. Really important to keep that in mind and to know it and understand it. And then, of course, because so much was happening, the next day, today's reading, first reading in this octave of Easter at Mass, chapter 4 of Acts. Now, Peter and John have gotten themselves in trouble. It's the same band, same group of religious leaders, many of them, now coming after Peter and John. After the crippled man had been cured, while Peter and John were still speaking to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple guard, and the Sadducees confronted them, disturbed that they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. So they were bothered, disturbed by the fact that they were saying, they were, first of all, they're not officials. They don't have any right, according to these leaders, to preach in the temple. Here they are in the holy place of the people of God on the earth, the Jewish people, God's people, the covenant people. And he's standing up and he's proclaiming that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and it annoys them and it's driving them crazy. They laid hands on Peter and John and put them in custody until the next day, since it was already evening. But many of those who heard the word came to believe, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. Wonderful, amazing. So Peter and John aren't thinking, hey, Jesus, where are you? I mean, here we are, we're proclaiming, and now we're arrested. I mean, this is hard for us. This is difficult. That's not where they're at. They understood exactly what their destiny was. Jesus told them. And they're following the footsteps of their master. So this wasn't going to go down with just affirmations everywhere. They were preaching. And I think it's astounding. Peter and John are preaching right there in the temple after all that they went through. That is transformation at a high level. That's anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's very special. And that's what the Holy Spirit does in people who welcome the Spirit, live by the Spirit, walk by the Spirit. So they're arrested. And on the next day, their leaders, elders, scribes, assemble in Jerusalem, and Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly class. So again, you got all the top dogs there, and they're trying to figure out what to do. They brought them into their presence and questioned them. Now, imagine, it's even more intense. The crowd is a little bit different today for Peter and John. This is the top of the food chain, the religious leaders in Jerusalem, among the Jewish people. And they're mad. And Peter and John come out, and here's what the leaders say. By what power or by what name have you done this? Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, I shall be with you always, Jesus said, to the ends of the earth. He answered them, leaders of the people and elders, if we are being examined today about a good deed done to a cripple, namely, by what means he was saved, then all of you and all the people of Israel should know that it was in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. In his name, this man stands before you healed. There it is again, the central message of Christianity. This is what the church exists to communicate, this message to the whole world. And look at how Peter is doing it, how clear he is. The name of Jesus. What I find interesting, this crippled man, by what means he was saved. He was saved. He was both physically healed, but he came to believe in Jesus. We'll see that unfolding in his life and his encounters with Peter. Signs and wonders confirmed the preaching of the gospel. It should happen in our day, just like it happened in other times and periods of history. It's something that we shouldn't just simply presume on, but we should really have faith and confidence in God that the power of the Holy Spirit is behind this word. It animates the word. It penetrates the human heart. And God knows when it's time to use a sign and a wonder to confirm it for more people, which is what everybody knew this guy. So this is the way the Lord got everybody's attention. And then Peter goes on, in his name, this man stands before you healed. He is Jesus, the stone rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. He's quoting the Old Testament. There's no salvation through anyone else, nor is there any other name under heaven given to the human race by which we are to be saved. Catholics, get this straight. All of us, I need to understand this. No salvation in anyone else. Jesus is the only Savior of the world. And we are his body, the church. And his body is what? Zealously, just like he did on earth, pursuing the salvation of souls, salvation of people who he loves. No other name given. It's our privilege to walk in the footsteps of the apostles and those who've gone before us. Have a blessed weekend. Keep celebrating this wonderful octave of Easter. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once, and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future. And it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.